Take your Bibles, if you will, to the book of John, chapter 20. Let us stand together. We'll read verses 30 and 31 of John, chapter 20. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe. Title of our lesson today, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for all that you provide for us. But greatest of all is our need of salvation, and you have taken care of that. Shedding your blood, paying the price. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Again, the book of John, chapter 20, we'll begin reading at verse 1. John 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. May I say there in verse 9, and they knew not, that's not to say they hadn't been told. They had heard, but they had not taken it to heart. And I know that there are times that you hear and that I hear, but we don't take it to heart. But praise God, when the light bulb comes on, what a joy that is. Verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, unto your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. How would you like Jesus to say that to you? Be not faithless. I tell you what, I'd be embarrassed. I would hang my head in shame. I would look for the proverbial hole to crawl into. I hope I'm not faithless. I hope you're not faithless. Verse 28, And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Now the rest of verse 29 is for you. You should have it underlined. You should say, Pastor Paul said, This is for me, for it is for us. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Verse 25, we have seen the Lord. Do you think there was some excitement when they said that to Thomas? I don't think they were chiding Thomas. I don't think they were saying, Nanner, Nanner, you weren't here. I think they were just excited and they wanted Thomas to know, we've seen the Lord. The rumors are true. He is risen. And Thomas, and you know how it is when sometimes we're embarrassed about something and we put up a strong front. He says, Except I see in his hands the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his sides, I will not believe. Compounding the first problem and making it even bigger. He wouldn't believe. And how sad that is, for Jesus would say to Thomas, Be not faithless, but believing. May I say this, if Thomas had believed when the Lord came into the room that second time, he would have been able to say, Thomas, you believed and you hadn't seen. So instead of receiving a commendation, he received condemnation. He was told that he had done wrong. Verse 29, Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Aren't you glad you've believed? I mean, I do hope you have believed. I hope you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, because I'm going to ask you, why did Jesus have to die? Why did he have to die? According to Romans 5, 8, and 9, it says, But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were what? Yet sinners. Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. And he died for us while we were yet sinners. In other words, we don't have to make ourselves presentable and then God will save us. Praise God for that, right? God sees us as sinners and he says, you have a need and I'll take care of it. He died because we are sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not just some, but all. For the wages of sin is death. Eternal death. Matthew 20, verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many, his dying for us. We are so glad that last week we could give the resurrection story and what a good attendance we had last week. And we appreciate those that were here, and many of your family members were here, and what a blessing that was to see them. And we need to remind them, as we need to be reminded, that he gave his life a ransom for many. Though he died for all to be saved, only a handful will be saved. He died to save us from the wrath of hellfire. I know it's not popular today to talk about hell, and because people don't ever want to be convicted about doing wrong. But the fact of the matter is there are consequences for doing wrong. There are consequences for doing wrong. Yes, well, that's still got part of you. But there are consequences for doing wrong. Well, the fact of the matter is, I remember this. I was in the seventh grade and we had been told not to run in the boys' locker room after gym class when we were going to take a shower. And some of you've heard me tell this story, and I don't tell it because I want you to hear, because my dad, probably if he'd have known what happened, would have taken care of me again at home. In fact, I remember him telling me, if you ever get a whooping at school, you're going to get a whooping when you get home. I never told him. But I ran in the boys' room there at Sterling Junior High. It's now Bemis Junior High. And there were about seven of us that were running in the boys' room from the shower area to the lockers. And you don't have to think about that very long because you're going to have dinner in a little while. That's to be funny, folks. You missed that, didn't you? And I remember the teacher, I believe his name was Craig, C-R-A-I-G, Mr. Craig. Does that sound right? Mr. Craig. And I remember he said, you, and you, line up. And he had a paddle in his hand. And he didn't say, go get dressed. He just said, line up. Praise God, I was number seven. Whap! Oh, in the locker room, it really reverberated. I dried. Whap, whap, whap. And as he came down the line, I was glad his arm was tired, but he got to me. There are consequences for doing things that are wrong. I never ran again in the locker room. Never. Ever. But today we don't want to blame ourselves when we do something wrong. It's someone else's fault, isn't it? But a holy God sees us. And all have come short of the glory of God. So he died to save us from the wrath of hellfire. John 3:35, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Folks, I am sorry, but if you have loved ones that have never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, when they die, they will go straight to hell. And there is no praying them out of hell. They have gone to the place of judgment. And if you have grandchildren that are not in the house of God under the sound of God, you should tremble at the thought that they could die and go to hell. My son Matthew was telling me not long ago that he doubts that his son Luke has ever accepted Christ as a Savior. How do you think that makes Donna feel? Does it make her feel good? Especially when you realize that Luke is graduating high school this year and is already signed up to be a Marine. And in August, he'll go to boot camp. You worry about those things. The wrath of God is upon those that will not accept Christ as Savior. Ephesians 2 verses 4 and 5 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." He's quickened us. He's made us alive. Made us alive. If I were to ask you to define love, we would use all the cliches that we've heard through the years. But the best one simply is God is love. God is love. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity." It is love in action. God did not only say, "I love you," he saw the need and he provided himself as a ransom for our sins. John 15:15 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." You ever ponder that you can be a friend of God? Now, I'll be honest with you. President Trump hasn't called me. That doesn't surprise you, does it? Wouldn't you think it'd be nice if he was my friend? You don't think I'm good enough, do you? But the fact of the matter is, the Lord died for his friends. And if we accept Jesus Christ as Savior, he is our friend. What a glorious thought. 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent forth his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Manifested, it made clear, is unmistakable, clearly evident. In this is clearly evident the love of God toward us. Propitiation, not a word that we use too very often. I'm just proud I can say it. Propitiation, it means redemption, to make peace with, atonement. We think of atonement as an Old Testament thought, but he is our atonement. He is our payment. He is our the satisfaction. God the Father is satisfied that you can enter heaven's glory and live there for eternity, because of the shed blood of Christ. And if you're not covered by the shed blood of Christ, then you will not spend eternity in heaven, but you will spend eternity in hellfire. The Lord has done this because he loves us. "It is finished," Christ said. "The price is paid in full." The price is paid in full. You know, you borrow money to buy a car, and when that last payment goes in, and you say to yourself, "It is finished. The car is finally mine." And your wife says, "About time to get a new car." It is finished. I remember when I walked across the platform there at the Bible Baptist Seminary after 4 years of college, and my one thought now is that I should not have pushed it into 4 years. I should have pushed it into about 6 or 7 years. But as they handed me the diploma, I could have easily said, "It is finished. I am done." When Christ died on the cross, he could say it was finished. He had paid the price for our sins. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Crucified, not physically, but spiritually. We are his. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This life may be good. Yeah, I mean, let's be honest about it. We have food to eat. You all came here, presumably in a car, maybe walked. Anybody walk? Nobody walked. We all came in a car. You know, we're all dressed. Aren't you glad for that? The fact of the matter is we are blessed physically. But how many people in America are not blessed spiritually? They're lost and doomed and damned. And I don't say that with pride, but I say it with the fact that this should be a warning to us. They're dying and going to hell because they don't know Christ the Savior. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans chapter 8, and we'll look at verse 35. Romans chapter 8. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I don't have to say this, but some of you married believing that you and your mate were in love. And something happened. And division came. And the marriage was ended. Some of you have raised children that maybe have turned their back and have nothing to do with the family. Maybe you've had a friend that you counted dearer than a brother or a sister, and that friendship seemed to be so strong, and then something happened, something simple maybe, something dramatic, who knows, but that friendship went from love to barely speaking to each other. But when it comes to the love of our Lord for us, Paul says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Do you realize that there is nothing you can do to make the Lord love you more? And there's nothing you can do to make him love you less. He loves you. He cares for you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? All these things can separate you from friends, can separate church members from one another, can separate you from where you work, can separate you from families, can even separate you from your mate. These things can come in and separate you, but they will not separate you from the love of Christ. As is it written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The desire to defeat death, the last enemy. If I were to ask you how many of you have someone waiting for you in heaven, probably all of us would raise our hand and say, we have someone waiting. Someone that is wondering where we're at. But we are more than conquerors. For if we have Christ on our side, we can be victorious. Paul continues verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Who can separate us from God for all eternity? Our sin. But once we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are saved for all eternity. No matter what we have done. And don't ever think I said, well, you might as well go out and sin a lot to make His grace even greater. No, we're to live good, godly lives. But the Lord loves us. And He cared for us. Shall we stand together? 375 is our song of invitation. As we sing, you can come to the altar and you can pray, or if you're unable to bow down at the altar for health issues, you can sit on the front row. Maybe you'd like to come and pray for some person that you know that if they died today, they'd go straight to hell. Maybe you'd like to come and pray for that person, a loved one, a friend, someone at work, a neighbor. Maybe you'd like to come and pray. Maybe you'd like to come and just pray that the Lord would use the Covenant Baptist Church in a greater way than it is right now. Maybe you just need to come and pray and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, we ask that the Spirit would move, that hearts could be touched. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.